Proverbs of the day, November 28th. Proverbs 28 and one verse, verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Now, some verses have both benefit and danger in them, and this is one of them. So we note the fact that he's contrasting rebuke with flattery. That's a contrast. And you might, from the wording of it, you might say that he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. You might read it like he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. And we'll probably approach it primarily from the second way of looking at it, and that is that when rebuke is in order, when it's absolutely essential, generally speaking, the benefit is not till afterwards, but there is, especially in contrast with flattery. But I want to say two things today, and one of them, the first one, is I'm real serious about it, and I'm serious about it because I see this thing today, and we were warned about it. We were warned about it in the epistles, and that is, first of all, the boundaries of rebuke. The boundaries of rebuke. You know, whether you want to believe it or not, and I'm talking to Bible believers here today, the Bible does say that when it comes down to it, we're not supposed to rebuke an elder. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Now, if you're one of those younger generation that doesn't treat your father with respect, this verse doesn't mean a thing to you. In other words, if you bounce back and forth between speaking respectfully and acting like you know more than your father, then and that's physical father or spiritual father, either one, then you're not going to get it. But I'm just going to tell you, those of you who think there are no boundaries just because you don't like the way somebody older than you is doing something, there are boundaries. And I know you thought there were none, but there are. And if you're not careful, you're probably one of what I call the one-way rebukers. Your rebuking street runs one way, out, away from you towards others. So you can forget the excuses, because it says specifically, clearly, don't rebuke somebody older than you. You can entreat, and if that entreaty is not heard, and you probably are not going to be able to use the same attitude and approach you did perhaps with your father growing up, because you may have been one of those that were despised of parents or proud or boastful, those sort of things at times. The Bible says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So you have to look at the one that's going to get the rebuking and decide where they're at in life. There are boundaries. God set up boundaries. You know, Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You know, it's amazing when you think of your Bible, and we're talking about your King James Bible, how that when you're reading through it, stuff starts fitting together, and it starts making a lot of sense. And, of course, right now we're talking about the boundaries of rebuke. In Matthew chapter 16, and you'll probably remember this when we start talking about it, but the Lord Jesus Christ is telling Peter he's going to build the church and all this, and he said, I'll give unto thee the keys. But amidst all that stuff, he charged his disciples they should tell no man, and he started to show them that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer. Okay? And your Bible says Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Matthew 16:22. And so understand that there are boundaries for rebuke. And if your old nature bristles at that, that's just sure proof. I mean, we just put our finger on the problem. And so when you come across a verse like this that tells us that he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue, you better be careful. There are boundaries. You know, in the book of Jude, it says, yet Michael, the archangel, while contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. And there, you know, I think there's probably enough said there about this, but understand that there are boundaries. And the reason I say that is because in order for you to receive the right kind of instruction and rebuke from the Lord, you got to know what the boundaries are. I find today a phenomena that I'm sure has been there forever because you read about it all through your Bible and you read about it in Paul's epistles. But this younger generation are almost as soft as butter, melted butter, when it comes to receiving a rebuke. But they think that they know more than everybody. And it's a phenomena of the generation at large. It's propagated, it's taught, it's on media, it's everywhere. And you're going to have to work at it as a believer. All right, the boundaries. Secondly, the blessing of rebuke. He said to you that that person that gets rebuked would actually, the person doing the rebuking would find favor. So if there are boundaries, let's look at a couple of examples. Let's use one that's very easy to get. He says, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord," ready, "nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." If you're the type of believer that thinks that the only rebuke you can take is from the Lord directly, then the Lord's going to send somebody into your life who he wants to use to correct that attitude. There's a spiritual pride that says I can take a rebuke vertically from above, but you can't take one horizontally. Now, of course, what you'll do is you want to test everyone else, see if they can take your rebuke first, but that just ain't it. And I say that to say there is a blessing of it. What does it do? It turns us in the right direction. It stops us from the wrong path. It purifies us to bear more fruit. Now, if you're an older Christian, here's the temptation. The temptation is to not care. I'm pausing for effect here. The temptation is to not care. The temptation is to hold back. Because generally speaking, when a rebuke is given, and in the context of Hebrews 12, we've got a father to a son. It's not taken very well at first, usually. I think of the illustration the Lord Jesus gave. And he said that one son was told to go work in the field. And he said, "I ain't doing it." And then he repented and went. The other one said, "Oh, yes, I'll do that." And then he didn't do it. That second guy is what they modernly call passive aggressive. In other words, he nodded his head, said, "I will," and he went away and didn't do it. The other one resisted and then later went. And I'll have to say this to you, that as an older Christian, sometimes the great temptation is to keep back the sword. The temptation is because, and it's because there is going to be a negative reaction in many cases. In most places, with most people, the love comes later. Okay? It says, "They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly." Amos 5 and verse 10. In Nehemiah, just for example, just to give you some examples, Nehemiah sets these fellows down or pulls them aside, and he gets stuck into them, as you say. He said, "Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, Ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them." You see, he was within the boundaries. He was doing what's right. And, you know, there is a blessing of rebuke. So if you're in that position where you need to receive one, you need to learn to count it as a blessing as soon as possible. And in Hebrews 12:5, that thing said, "And nor faint, when thou art rebuked of him, nor faint." You know what the picture is? The picture is giving up because you got a rebuke. And I see so many young people today, young men, and my burden obviously is for you young men because that's the hope, but you young ladies too. But you young fellas, what would you do if you had to truly be a soldier? You know, if you're not careful, you'd be like the soldier that John the Baptist had to rebuke when he told them not to misuse their authority, not to use violence and complain about their pay, etc. We can't do that. And so the blessing of rebuke is that it's afterwards. Now, if you're older and you know it's time to do it with prayer, do it with grace. If you're one of those people that needs it, and you know, I know I've got people in my life that there's times that they have to rebuke me, and I've given them that power to. Why? Because I want them to have it. I want them to have it. Why? Because we need it sometimes. Our Heavenly Father doesn't just talk to us straight from above. That would make us spiritually lifted up sometimes. The boundaries of rebuke and the blessings of rebuke.